Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
I hope that they kind of keep it calm, keep it measured. I think if you get those things right, I think they've got the best potential and headroom in terms of how far they can go and what kind of performance they can deliver. They'll have a great day.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
Today on the Indo Daily, Paddy Cosgrave, misunderstood or mischief maker?
We 59,000 fully badged attendees, brilliant entrepreneurs, engineers, investors, just over 81,000 people from more than 170 countries will pass through the doors of Web Summit over the next 4 days.
The Web Summit is one of Ireland's most successful tech exports. But one of its co-founders is increasingly finding himself at the centre of controversy.
What Paddy Cosgrave did with the Web Summit was actually quite impressive in building up a global brand, and I'm not sure we could appreciate that here in Ireland.
There have been nasty social media spats, political rows, pandemic apologies, and now a court battle.
There have been allegations of shareholder oppression, bullying and harassment, claims of hacking, vendettas against political and business figures, and the misuse of company resources. But we've only heard one side of the story yet.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, we profile the self-confessed crony insider, Paddy Cosgrave. Siobhan Maguire, consumer journalist. Who is Paddy Cosgrave?
Paddy Cosgrave, Kevin, is a 38-year-old tech entrepreneur. He's most famous for co-founding the Web Summit, which, as we now know, is this massive kind of Glastonbury for nerds in terms of its scope, scale and level of guests.
He is a very interesting character, a rural upbringing in County Wicklow, educated Glenstall Abbey, private school, went on to Trinity, was involved in the PhilSoc there. And then from being an anonymous, ordinary fella, has gone on to huge success.
Absolutely. So Paddy Cosgrave really just came into prominence on a very kind of low profile level, Kevin, in around 2009 with the first Web Summit. Now, they only had 150 attendees at that event. But there was a very gradual build up in the years following where all of a sudden, as journalists, we're hearing about this young tech entrepreneur and exactly what he's trying to do in terms of bringing the tech world, a major tech event, to Irish and international audiences. And if you look from those very early days, I mean, the level of guests was actually really good. Bono, you had Eva Longoria, you know, and people were saying, well, how is this small event managing to get so many people? And actually, I say small event. So if we look at 2009 with 150 attendees, by 2019, that was over 70,000 people. Now, that is pretty huge, regardless of whether it's a rock concert or, a big sporting event. Like for 70,000 attendees interested in the tech world, exploring the tech world, making new discoveries, that's pretty huge.
Perhaps we in the Irish media didn't fully understand exactly what they were trying to achieve, but Paddy was pretty clear in his own mind of what Web Summit would be.
One of the things that we wanted to do was attract people that don't ordinarily meet or interact with these tech founders who are building incredibly disruptive companies with a truly global impact.
Siobhan, I remember being at Web Summit in those early days when it was out in the RDS. And it was quite extraordinary. You named some of the guests there, but it wasn't just that Glastonbury for nerds, which you suggest. It wasn't just about startups going around begging billionaires for money on the side of presentations on the stage. It also came into Dublin city centre. And I remember being on nights out after it at places like the Stag's Head, and there was rumours around who'd be in which pub, and there was, you know, big names from the international companies just floating around Dublin on the beer.
Absolutely. I mean, you heard stories of the likes of Elon Musk at Coppers. Now, I mean, that's just gold in terms of you know, article content. Jack Dorsey, founder of Twitter, I mean, he was available to media as a guest, a Web Summit speaker in the very early days as well. And if you even just kind of fast forward to, say, this year's Web Summit, 2021, I mean, the caliber of guests that Paddy Cosgrave manages to get year in, year out, it's really, really impressive. I mean, you cannot scold him or take that away from him. He gets a fantastic lineup. The likes of A.O. Tometi, the founder of Black Lives Matter this year, Francis Hahn, the Facebook whistleblowers. So, it's something that continues to build, continues to keep us interested. And I believe that's firmly lying with Paddy and his ingenuity.
But things between Web Summit and Dublin turned sour. In some ways, Web Summit perhaps became not too big for its boots, but too big for Dublin, or certainly that's how Paddy Cosgrave felt about it. And he fell out effectively with Enda Kenny's government. You had a fascinating story, Siobhan, around some of the demands back in 2014, 2015 that Web Summit were making of Dublin City Council in order for them to stay here.
This is interesting, Kevin, in that this is the kind of narrative that has followed Paddy around over the years. I would say he's misunderstood a lot of the time, because what he was trying to do as a tech entrepreneur is make Dublin centre stage for this global event, you know, really big us up and get all these people over here. And traditionally, we are a nation who love to pat people on the back when they start out and say, look, isn't he or she doing an amazing job? And then they get a little big for their boots. And then we have an issue. And I firmly believe that this is what happened in the case of Paddy Cosgrave and the Web Summit in Dublin.
But what was he looking for that the City Council and the government thought was excessive?
So what he wanted for the Web Summit, this is in 2015, he wanted street closures, Garda escorts, temporary bike stations, free Leap card travel cards, discounts on hotel accommodation. All of this came from a freedom of information request. And as journalists at the time, we were being egged on by people in certain quarters to make these submissions, because they knew that all of these requests were coming in from the Web Summit. A lot of them were seen as very outlandish, and a lot of it was seen as petulance on the part of Paddy. You know, why
there
is he asking?
There was a feeling in political circles, I recall, that this company, this event was making millions of euro and simultaneously looking for all this support that was going to fall back on the taxpayer to pay. And of course, one of the biggest rows was over the Wi-Fi and the failure, repeated failure of the Wi-Fi to actually work at the event. And ultimately, Web Summit decided they were out.
And after five fantastic years in Dublin, we're moving to the absolutely wonderful city of Lisbon in 2016. We're incredibly excited about that.
So Siobhan, Web Summit was leaving, the government were saying it wasn't their fault. Let's listen to what Enda Kenny said in reply to all that controversy.
This was a commercial decision by the company involved, and they're quite entitled to make that decision. And I wish them every success in Lisbon. Obviously, the exhibition centre there is of enormous proportions. I would say I've supported the Web Summit myself from my days in opposition when I attended at smaller meetings in the Mansion House to discuss how it might grow, and it's been extraordinarily successful.
But it made no difference. Web Summit was gone. Siobhan, where did it go?
So it went over to Lisbon, and we'd had indications from Paddy Cosgrave in September of 2015 that the event would be held in Lisbon and that it would be Dublin's little baby no more. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, he's entered into an amazing 110 million euro deal with Portugal to host it there for a certain number of years. And it's almost bigger than it ever could have been in Ireland, I think, because the Portuguese have kind of embraced his demands and his whims, and it seems to be working out really well. Like during the pandemic, when nothing was going on, the Web Summit still managed to host a virtual event, and that had 104,000 people logging in for that event. Now, that's hugely impressive, you know, when the rest of the world's completely shut down, Kevin. And then, of course, 2021 this year was, a stage show on a scale that we've not quite seen in relation to the Web Summit, and Paddy using it to relay issues that might be of concern to himself.
We've talked about Paddy Cosgrave, the very successful tech entrepreneur and millionaire. But what people mightn't be so aware of is that going back many years, even before he was as famous as he is now, he always had displayed quite a strong interest in society and public policy. Here's a clip from the Big Tech Show, Adrian Rechler's podcast in 2018, where he was talking about the housing crisis.
I'm sure there's some people in Ireland who are satisfied with the state of the kind of housing sector at the moment. If you're a big landlord, you've got to be very happy. But certainly, if you're younger, if you're part of a younger kind of demographic, you're just once again watching yourself being priced out entirely of the market or priced into 30 years.
Siobhan, that was an interview he did with Adrian Rechler and had clearly got very strong views that I think could be articulated by quite a large section of the population. But it's Paddy's activities on social media in more recent times that have raised eyebrows.
It's almost like a tale of two Paddies in terms of his social media output. So on the one hand, you have a very angry Paddy on Twitter. I mean, he even has added the skull and crossbones flag to his Twitter handle, supposedly to symbolise that Ireland was run by a bunch of pirates, privateers and cronies. And he does lash out a fair bit and, doesn't hold back in terms of opinion. And then you switch over to Instagram and you get a very warm and cuddly, happy, loving father, husband, cat owner, tennis player, a really pleasant feed on his Instagram of a man who is, you know, really living life the way he wants to live. And by all accounts, seems like he's very, very happy.
I had a look back through some of, I suppose, his public spats over the last couple of years. And it's fair to say that he has engaged on Twitter in a lot of public commentary. And it's also, I think, fair to say that he has a serious dislike for what he would see as the so-called establishment, regularly criticising Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, or FFG, as they would be referred to on social media, and talking up the possibility of a Sinn Féin government in the near future. And even for us, Siobhan, he likes to attack us in quotes, poor kittens in the media, and often accusing the Irish Independent, the Irish Times, of attempted hatchet jobs on him, while simultaneously describing himself as a complete and utter crony insider. It's kind of entertaining, if I'm honest, to read a lot of it, but there have been serious sides to it as well. And one of those, actually, there's been two occasions over recent times that his Twitter commentary has got him in trouble. One involved Matthew O'Toole, the GP who's been at the centre of the leak controversy, which we'll talk about in a moment, no doubt. But the GP actually sued him over online comments that Paddy had made, which suggested that he was involved in spin and deception and that this was leading to a loss of life. This all related to coverage around the pandemic and commentary around the pandemic. And Paddy Cosgrave later had to apologise unreservedly and admit he was wrong. And then there was the somewhat infamous episode of the dead nurses. And that involved another apology where, after claiming on Twitter that four nurses who had fought so hard for so many patients during the early days of the COVID-19 crisis that they had died. And that created quite the storm on social media. And ultimately, it was totally unfounded. And it led to Paddy having to issue an apology to the HSE and the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation. So while it is entertaining, actually quite a bit of it is quite serious too.
Oh, definitely, Kevin. And it can get quite personal, actually. I'm talking about Leo Varadkar here.
Funny enough, Leo Varadkar and Paddy Cosgrave seemed to get on reasonably well a few years ago, which a lot of people might not realise, as evidenced by this clip.
Yeah, we've a great working relationship. I was at the latest U2 concert with Leo and spent a good deal of time chatting to him. It seems, yeah, there's lots of very positive kind of dialogue going on, and we're working in lots of different ways.
But it has all gone very, very sour. And that is, of course, referring to the hashtag Leo the Leak, which is a story that Paddy Cosgrave has, I suppose, publicised to a huge extent. It's a story about Leo Varadkar leaking a draft GP contract to his friend, Dr. Matthew O'Toole, who was involved in one of the GP unions a couple of years ago. Leo Varadkar has said, of course, that he did it in good faith and that while it may not have been best practice, it wasn't illegal. But more recently at that Web Summit where you talked about it being a huge success and having a global audience, Siobhan, Paddy Cosgrave decided to put that story about Leo Varadkar front and centre.
In 2020, Whistleblower Aid created their first outpost in Europe in Ireland. The very first Irish whistleblower that John Tighe, the co-founder of Whistleblower Aid, advised was an entrepreneur called Shea Bowes. Shea had evidence of potential corruption by Ireland's then Prime Minister, or Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar.
The Taoiseach, of course, is subject to that Garda investigation. He says he wants it to end as quickly as possible. It looks like it'll be next year before we have any outcome on that one way or the other. But he did give this story credence because he ended up having to go into the Dáil and give an apology.
I do regret it, and I am sorry for the controversy and the annoyance that my actions have caused, including to members of the medical profession, members of the IMO, my colleagues in government, and to the House.
Of course, Kevin, in the meantime, that story will continue to rumble on. But what we do have now is a new controversy where Paddy finds himself in the middle of a court case.
Shane Phelan, legal editor with the Irish Independent. Just a few weeks ago, the Web Summit was riding high, big in-person event in Portugal. But since then, there has been a bit of a cloud over the company as its name has been dragged through the courts. What exactly has been going on?
Well, the shine really has gone off things, I suppose, because of various legal battles that are ongoing at the moment. You basically have disputes involving the three co-founders of the Web Summit, Paddy Cosgrove, David Kelly, and Dara Hickey, and the latest of which has recently been entered onto the list of the Commercial Court in Dublin. I have to say, this is one of the most bitter corporate disputes that I can remember. There is claim and counterclaim, some very serious allegations being made on both sides. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out.
Paddy Cosgrave is arguably the most public of those three names you mentioned. Who are David Kelly and Dara Hickey?
So David Kelly is a friend of Paddy Cosgrove's from their time together at Glenstall Abbey. It was one of the co-founders of the Web Summit, resigned as a director in February. Dara Hickey was also a close friend of Paddy Cosgrove. They both studied together in Trinity, and then he came on board as a co-founder as well, and he resigned as a director back in 2019. He's arguably the next most high-profile figure in all of this. He sits on the board of RTE, and he has an advisory firm in New York.
So the three guys set up Web Summit, had huge success with it. What's gone wrong?
Well, I suppose the starting gun on these disputes was fired back in September. There was a lawsuit filed by the Web Summit holding company. It's called Manders Terrace in San Francisco. And that was against David Kelly. And it basically relates to a dispute over an investment fund that David Kelly was involved in which was basically alleged to have leveraged the success of the Web Summit. And a related lawsuit was then filed in October in the Commercial Court in Dublin. And the claims to be made in that by Paddy Cosgrave are essentially that this second investment fund was set up in secret to profit from the Web Summit's success. And he's basically claimed that the Web Summit has lost out on about $10 million as a result of the actions of David Kelly. Since then, there are two additional lawsuits have been filed by David by companies controlled by David Kelly and a company controlled by Dara Hickey. These essentially relate to what they claim to be shareholder oppression. So Paddy Cosgrave, he has 80% or more of the shares in the company. David Kelly only has 12 and Dara Hickey has 7. But they you know, they're not unsubstantial shareholdings to have, but they say, look, that despite having these shareholdings, they were effectively forced out by Paddy Cosgrave. They had little or no say in the running of the company. Those claims are being contested by Paddy Cosgrave.
Shane, you spend a lot of time down the courts, and these kind of corporate falling outs are not unusual, especially when there's big money involved. But this one is getting a lot more attention than maybe these type of cases usually would. Why is that?
I suppose a lot of the allegations that have been thrown at Paddy Cosgrave are somewhat colourful and indeed quite serious. Definitely not the sort of picture that he would like presented of how he runs the Web Summit. In particular, there's been allegations made by Dara Hickey of bullying and harassment of staff. He claims that a former employee who made a formal written complaint of harassment and bullying against Mr. Cosgrave got a confidential settlement. And he basically goes on to say in an affidavit that was filed in court that, you know, this wasn't an isolated incident, that he claims that Paddy Cosgrave would routinely chastise and demean staff, in particular female staff, publicly and on occasion reducing them to tears or placing them under inordinate amounts of stress. There's several alleged incidents outlined in an affidavit that he has filed in court. So some of these more serious than others, but they're, you know, the claims, they really do kind of cut quite deep in an industry where, you know, you're really looking to retain the best staff to drive your conference forward, but also, you know, could give you an image problem and make it difficult to get, you know, high profile speakers to come if they think there's a cloud hanging over how the business is being run.
Some of the other alleged incidents in the reporting that you've done from the court papers, things like staff being sacked on a whim, staff being gaslighted by Paddy Cosgrave. In one instance, Dara Hickey had claimed that 6 employees resigned not long after a town hall address given by Paddy Cosgrave, where he had told them that if they weren't able to put up with the pace of work there, that they would only be average people or civil servants. So it's presenting, I suppose, this culture in the workplace. But there's also other claims in there that go beyond that. And the name of businessman Dennis O'Brien has been brought into it.
Yeah, so essentially there's an allegation in one of these lawsuits that, you know, Paddy falls out with people, and when he falls out with people, he falls out with them very badly. And it's claimed that, look, Paddy Cosgrave had a very good relationship with Dennis O'Brien. Dennis O'Brien would have been quite supportive of the Web Summit at the early stages, but that things took a turn when Dennis O'Brien's companies basically stopped sponsoring the event. So one of the claims being made, for example, is that Mr. Cosgrave used Dennis O'Brien's private jet to fly to Davos and the US. That was the extent of the friendship that they would have had. But after the sponsorship kind of ended, and I think Paddy Cosgrave had, or it's alleged he had an apprehension that Dennis O'Brien was lending his support to a rival event at that stage. The allegation is that Paddy Cosgrave then began a campaign of abuse against Dennis O'Brien, and, you know, taking to social media and so on to say things about him. There's other allegations there that are quite serious, and we have to stress these are allegations, Kevin. Nothing is proven here. largely only kind of heard one side of the story in these. But another quite serious allegation is that Paddy Cosgrave is said to have admitted hacking the email of a rival tech conference, the Dublin Tech Summit. Now, this was said to have happened after he became concerned that a former Web Summit employee might have shared confidential information from the Web Summit. And these are claims made by Dara Hickey. He says he was completely shocked by, you know, by all of this, but that Mr. Cosgrave, you know, kind of dismissed it as a minor incident and didn't make much of it.
But Shane, as you say, we only have one side of this story so far. Why hasn't Paddy Cosgrave said anything yet?
Well, I suppose, Kevin, he has had plenty to say in his affidavit in the case that he is taking. So this is the breach of fiduciary duty case against David Kelly. There have been some statements from the Web Summit, for example, in relation to David Kelly's counter suit. They've claimed that, look, he's rehashing old claims to deflect from the lawsuit against him. Also a statement from the Web Summit describing allegations made by Dara Hickey as baseless. But you're right, Jess, we've kind of yet to hear from Paddy Cosgrave in detail about the specific incidents documented in the affidavits of the other shareholders. He's going to be given the opportunity to do that. The High Court has given him permission to file an affidavit. That's due to be filed sometime in January, and it's likely to be March before the contents of that are opened to the court.
So there's some distance to go in this court hearing before we get to the real truth of the story.
There is, well, until we have both sides, I suppose, laid on the table, yes. And I suppose it's understandable that it would take a period of time to produce a response, because these affidavits are voluminous and there are myriad allegations. You could have 10 podcasts dealing with all of the various allegations that are being made in the affidavits. So I think it's understandable it will take a period of time for him to address the issues that have been raised.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode was produced by Mary Carroll, research by Tabitha Monaghan, recording by Gavin Hennessy, with sound design by John Smith. Archived clips from independent.ie, RTE and the Web Summit. You can listen to the Indo Daily wherever you get your podcasts.